page 1175 of the Church Bibles. Paul says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that it is work in within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, for ever and ever. Amen."
Thanks, Janet. I won't kick the microphone. A tempting thing, isn't it? You're at home, you kick stuff about. It's not always good at church, is it? I want to do something for a moment to give you a bit of space. I just want you to think for a second. Can you picture in your mind the last moment or a recent moment, or maybe something that was quite profound in your life where you experienced the feeling of being loved? Sometimes that can be a touch on the hand. It can be a warm embrace, a gift, a moment. I wonder if you can think of an experience of feeling loved. When you look at neurological studies and psychological patterns of when we have those moments of feeling loved, and they can be very brief, they can be extended in different ways. Something goes off in our minds and in our whole bodies that really illuminates a sense of a profound feeling. Something almost like explodes inside of us, of a sense of affirmation, of belonging, lots of different feelings and thoughts of penetrating, pulsating thoughts and feelings rush through us. We have sort of this warming experience, or sometimes it's just something that overtakes but ignites everything within inside. And while we think about having these sort of high moments or these experiences, it's true as we think about them that you can't have them 24/7, every second of every hour of every day. Because you couldn't take it, you'd be overwhelmed. Could you imagine waking up in the morning and a group of friends are maybe standing outside the door, but they're there with breakfast in bed, they're there to just say, "We're here to love you, isn't it amazing?" And you think, "Wow, this is fantastic." And then you come and you think, "Well, I've finished and I'm in the shower. Actually, we've bought all these new soaps for you and it's just for you. Go and just sort of, lather yourself up and you're going to be smelling great." You get out and someone's laid out new clothes for you. And every second of every moment of every day, there were gifts, acts of love, hugs, kindness, words. And that happened every day. You'd just be like, you push back eventually. We couldn't take it. And by the same token, we couldn't have it every day because it would be like having your birthday every day. That high experience of like, "Wow, it's my day. I get to do what I want and I get the choices and my presence and it's great. It's all about me." But if you had that of every second, of every waking moment, of every day, that high experience becomes lower. It just becomes average. And so it's really important, isn't it, in life that we go through the highs and the lows. Because when we go through the highs and the lows help us to appreciate and see the perspective of the highs. That we don't understand the profound sense of that feeling and that love and that rush that comes over us unless we experience the lows as well. And that's a normal pattern in life. We go through the ups and downs. We go through the different thoughts and the feelings, and they all help us to see things in a perspective. to value them in a certain way. And as it's the same in our life experience, so it's the same in our spiritual experience with God too. We have these profound senses of going the highs and the lows in our relationship with God. We have those highs and lows and those profound encounters in our prayer life. And when we see Paul's letter this morning, when we go through that prayer that he prays, and as we unpack it, one thing that he's really certain of and what he wants to impress upon the church and the Christians is that, yes, we have the highs and the lows, but he's saying, listen, in your prayer life, you should have experiential encounters of God's love overwhelming you. There should be something that bursts in your inner life, in your whole experience, that illuminates the souls, the senses, and meets with you in a profound way. And so using Paul's prayer today, we're going to unpack and say, well, what does that look like? What is he talking about? And then we're going to go through the practical measures. Okay, how do I go about being in a place where I encounter God like that? It's really important as we think about Paul's writing and this prayer here, because what he's doing is he's writing to Christians. He's writing to the church in Ephesus over in modern-day Turkey, and he's writing to people who are struggling with different things and in their own community life. And as we hold that in mind, that he is writing to a Christian community, we suddenly sit there and think, well hold on, as we journey through all of Ephesians, we get to chapter 3, and some things are a bit of a puzzle with this prayer. So in verse 16, he prays that Christ may dwell in your hearts. But if you go through chapter 2 and you look at it, he has been at pains to say that Jesus is in your heart through the power of the Holy Spirit. When you're a Christian, the Spirit comes in you and upon you and through you. You encounter the life of the Spirit and Christ is in your heart. In verses 18 and 19, he prays that you may know the love of Christ. Yet, when you go to 1 John and you read the letter of 1 John and in the other parts of the New Testament, there are pains to say that you can't be a Christian unless you know the love of God, unless that selfless, life-giving power on the cross reaches and you believe it and you hold it and it's part of your life and you love it, then that's what it means to be a Christian. And yet here he's praying that you may know the love of Christ. And then he prays that you may be filled with the fullness of God. But yet in chapter 1 he says all Christians are filled with the fullness of God. He repeats the same thing in Colossians 2, 9 and 10, if you do a couple of slides, Amy. And he says, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ you have been brought to fullness. You as a Christian have been brought to the fullness of God. So what's happening here? Is it a whole set of contradictions that we've got to cleverly weave our way through? No. Paul is praying here into the difference of being loved, knowing the knowledge of love, and having the sense of, yes, I believe in the love, and the experience of love. But the experience of knowing it in your inner being. When I walk back from work, or if I maybe walking down the street, I know that Caroline, my wife, loves me. I know that I love her. I live in that sense of being loved, knowing that I'm loved. But something changes when we meet for lunch. Something happens when we come together, when soul to soul, spirit to spirit meets. There is something on an intimate level that is a different experience from the knowledge that I know that I'm in a relationship with someone that I love to when I meet them face to face. Something deepens, something quickens, something is different that's going on inside of me than when I'm walking up the road. And when Paul talks about God meeting, his love coming in our innermost being, when he's talking about that face-to-face encounter, that soul-to-soul encounter, when he's talking about your inner being, what he's saying is, listen, the center of who you are, your inner consciousness, your personality, your true self, or what the Bible in other areas that calls the heart, uses that word interchangeably, which you have to sort of weave out a little bit. But your heart is not the center of your emotions. The heart is the control center of your personality. It is where all your basic commitments lie. It's the things that you most hope in. It's where you set your desires upon. And the heart commitments, they all interact in terms of with our will and our emotions. It affects our behavior, the way we talk to others, the way that we view happiness. It passes through all those things in the center and the core of who we are and what we do. And Paul is here praying that ordinary Christians should come and encounter Jesus in a way that where the truest part of who you are, your true self, everything there, where everything gets fired up from, should meet with Jesus. Have a love encounter. And so what actually it brings when you step back is he's talking to ordinary Christians. He's talking to people and saying, listen, you can believe in this. You can know it in your heart and in your head, but are you experiencing it? Are you allowing it to shape the center of who you are so that your mind and your actions are revolutionized? That love encounter, that when you're experiencing all your different thoughts and feelings are weaved in and out of the love of God and these encounters that we have through experience that ignites us. Paul is picking up on what Jesus taught on the Sermon on the Mount. He's saying you need the love of God in your life as the first thing, as the priority. Isn't it interesting, as he's praying, look, the Christians are experiencing persecution, they're experiencing community troubles, they're wrestling with lots of different things. You can imagine Paul getting the letters on his desk, isn't it? You know, I'd like to win the lottery, Paul. I've got health needs. My knee's really hurting. My kids don't listen to me. But he picks up on Jesus' teaching and saying, listen, seek first the kingdom of God and his right standing, his being in right relationship with him. And everything will find its order. What from? Being in the love and experiencing the love of God. Everything from that place is where it flows from. That love encounter of the Holy Spirit pouring into our hearts, illuminating that gift of life, that inner world being filled with affection and wonder as we just become overwhelmed with the sense of the love of God that he has for us. It's why Paul says, if we just read it again, it's on the screen. He said, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Holy Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's people, to grasp how wide and how long, how high and deep is the love of God. The power that he mentions twice there is the power to grasp the love of God. It's not just to know about it, it's a reality, to hold on to what God is experiencing to us and giving for us and in us through the Holy Spirit, what Christ is and his love for you. And I wonder this morning, do you hunger for that encounter? In your prayer life, to seek to be overwhelmed by the love of God, to grasp it, to hold on to it, to reach out for it, to seek it. I remember a time when I was in the gym first thing in the morning, and I'm sitting there and I'm lining myself up and I'm on the treadmill, and I'm thinking, do I do Mo Farah today or am I going somewhere else? And so I set the pace and I'm running away. Not from something. I'm just running. and I'm getting into the zone. You know, I've got my music list set up. I've got my Rocky 3 and 4 tracks and I'm there. Eye of the Tiger, the training montage. I'm like, yeah. You know, 8 o'clock in the morning and I'm being inspired and I'm getting in touch with my younger days and the Rocky training videos. It's all playing in my head and I'm powering along. I'm like, yeah. Put the speed up. I'm going. And it's just fantastic. And then the playlist sort of flips and changes and the worship music comes in. And as the songs, I'm hearing them going on and I'm sort of running away and running and I'm just hearing stuff that's really inspiring me to talk with the Lord. And I'm conversing and my mind is wandering and I'm just talking about different things. And then all of a sudden that there was a song in the background, I didn't really know it, but there, you know, sometimes you're listening and there's a key change. And the bridge kicks in. And all of a sudden, everything within inside of me is just tuned into these words that become a prayer that are on the screen. And it says, "Oh, Holy Spirit, burn like a fire, all-consuming, consume me. Here in your presence, Lord, I surrender to your glory, to your glory." And it's been played over and over again, and I'm just finding myself in this moment that song and the words are becoming a prayer in my heart. I'm just, "Lord, consume me. And as I'm doing it and I'm running and the love of God is being poured into my heart, and I'm hitting the emergency button. Tears are coming down my face. I don't care about who's around. I'm just, you know, let it slow down. I have to stop the music. I put the thing off and I'm not just panting because of because I've been running. And I'm just like, it's too much. Stop. That whole sense of affirmation of the Father's heart, of assurance, and everything just begins to you just welled up and it's just electrified and it's just there in that moment. And I share that experience not to say, "Hey, look at me." I'm giving you the point that I'm not here in my office. It's not a devotional time in the sense that I've got everything laid out and, okay, I'm going to read my Bible here, I've got my journal there, and it's just part of the everyday. And it's not bad to sit there and experience God during your devotional times. They're good things. But the point is, whether you're washing up, whether you're cooking or whatever is going on, that God interrupts those moments and almost just like that profound experience of love, the Holy Spirit comes on and just illuminates that sense of love that he has for you. As I talk about the highs, I also am aware that having spoken recently on Psalm 88, when we were looking at when your world collapses in the evening and going through the darkness, that there is an experience, a prolonged dark experience, that even though you're praying, you're seeking, you're doing a lot of just reaching out to God, that sometimes there is just a thick cloud. Rick Warren talks about it as well when his son committed suicide. And there are spiritual highs and spiritual lows. And we need both in the Christian life, because you can't learn what you can in the lows and the same as the highs. What do I mean? But when you get to those low experiences and you are ranting and raving at God and saying, "Where are you and what's going on?" you're still experiencing the grace of God because he's sticking with you in those moments. Even though you don't deserve it, even though you're angry, even though perhaps guilt has overtaken, you're still crying out to him, but it's a little bit iffy at times, but God is still there. You don't experience that in the same way when you're in the highs. Because you know God is there. And so what you learn is you have two different aspects of grace learning that go on. And it helps you frame and understand the experiences of the highs when you understand the lows and vice versa. As Christians, we need both. As much as we're talking about a profound personal experience of God's love, it's held in tension. But I believe we can experience and we should experience God's love according to what Paul is saying in my own personal experience. So how can we receive this? How can we be in that place of experiencing that power encounter of God's love for us? And I think the first thing is about prayerful grasping. Yeah, so often, and I said this before when we've been talking about prayers, we like to formulate things. Well, let me just see what Paul's prays, and if I pray exactly the same thing as Paul, then therefore it should happen. You know, we like to box it off and formulate it, and if I know I can do it, then and put it like this, then therefore it's a tick in the box and it should go on. The thing that Paul is talking about, the gift it is, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the encounter is precisely that. It's nothing that you can conjure up. There's no vending machine that you can go to the swimming bars and sit there and say, I want this one, Lord. But we know that God in his goodness, as a father's heart, wants to give us good gifts. And so we know that this is on offer. But it's a gift that God chooses to give to those who only believe in him, who trust in him, who turn their hearts from the things that we try to set on idols and on ideas that drain us away. When we move our hearts into position and say, Lord, you're my heart's desire. You're the one that I seek. When I want to know your glory, it's you that I'm looking to. When we allow that inner being to be hit here, and nothing else is robbing us of that space and that joy, when we know that we are open, it moves us into a place where we can quietly, patiently, lovingly receive. Because, you know, Jim said it yesterday, it was a great picture last week. You know, the picture of a sponge. If you're gripped tightly onto the sponge and you're dipping it in, didn't he said it? And if that's your heart and your everything else is holding onto it, then it's not going to be as full, is it? But if you open up your hand, the sponge gets bigger. But you've got to be open-handed. Got to be open-handed. But many people have just put themselves in a place where they can be open-handed by praying simple prayers. Lord, make your love real to me. To wake up and to pray in the afternoon and just to have a rhythm and not just to sit there and say, well, I've prayed it, Lord. It's been 5 seconds. I'm gone. It's not worked. No. Pray the prayer. Put yourself in an open position and wait on the Holy Spirit to meet with you. Allow space and time to encounter God, to be in a place where he can actually meet with you. And you're still enough to receive it, to hear it, to have the Holy Spirit to work on you. Set a timer on your watch. Put something on your phone. Let the prayer flash up in front of you. I just need to go and be with the Lord. But here's the thing about prayerful grasping. We can pray those prayers, but here there's a sense of grabbing hold of this morning. Paul says, I pray that you grasp it, to grasp the love of God. And in the Greek, when you look at the word for grasp, it actually means to rob someone. We're not talking about robbing God this morning, but what we're saying is if the gift is held out, go and take it. Lay hold of it in other translations. Go and see there if it's there before you. Listen, if you go shopping and someone puts there in a big giant punnet of strawberries and says, go help yourself. No, you're going to run up and you're going to take hold of it, aren't you? You're going to pick it up and say, woohoo! Grab it and run off with it. To be chased, to want, to desire. That's the first thing. What's the other thing that Paul... There's other things we can pick out of this. It's quite a dense prayer. There's something else that he says here. He says, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with who? With all the Lord's people. The Lord's holy people. And so he's writing to Christians, to a community group. And there is as much as this is about an individual pursuit and longing for an encounter with God, this is also something as a church-wide context. Because church is one of these great places where we have the diversity of gifts that come together in a way that inspires us, that you necessarily won't be inspired by yourself. Whether it's round the table, whether it's in a church worship service, whether you're going for a walk with other Christians, there's something that of a dynamic that people bring together that inspire us in a way that you cannot necessarily do by yourself. Whether someone comes with a prophetic word, with a scripture, with an imbued speech that just speaks into your life and it just opens up a door. I remember when I was a teenager and I wasn't a Christian, it was always quite lively in the church and I loved watching people. And there'll be a space and a breakout of God's Spirit moving in amongst the people, and some people will be speaking and singing in tongues. And they'd be worshipping away, and there'd be other people who would just be having a heart song, and they wouldn't be speaking in tongues, but they would just be singing out this song on their hearts, and amazing sort of harmonies coming together, and there would be people who would just be standing there and just being blessed in the presence of others, inspired and moved to know the love of God in that moment. It's the diversity of gifts that out loud inspire each other. I'll finish with this. Having a relationship with God is, yes, truthful. Solid and foundational. But I believe it's also experiential. We have the highs and the lows. But both can lead us to a place of encountering the fullness of God if we are grasping hold of Jesus. Grasping hold of the love of God. And my challenge to you this morning is that the gift is being held out. If we know Paul's words, we know what he's saying. He's saying, take hold of the love of God. Beg for it. Ask for it. Encounter it. It's there for you and me. To know and to feel and to have the love of God. And even if we're going through difficult times and there's a cloud over us, to have a truth encounter. To be reminded of the grace of God. It might not be a high feeling, but it's still a reminder of the experience that actually you are with me, which is so profound within itself. We're going to seek then this gift of grace, this outpouring of God's love through the Spirit into our hearts. We're going to have opportunity to respond. And we're going to sing together. And maybe there's a prophetic word, or you've got a Bible verse or a scripture or something. We'll come and share it. Put your hand up. I'll come and bring the microphone to it. It's an opportunity for us to encourage one another. As we talk about the diversity of gifts that are here, to inspire each other, to encountering the love of God, there's an opportunity to do it. And so we're just going to wait. I'm going to pray. And we're going to wait on the Lord for a couple of minutes. And then I'm going to invite the band to come, and they're going to lead us in a time of sung worship. And it's an opportunity for us to respond. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, we open up our hearts to you this morning. We set our desires and our hopes on you. We align our will, our spirits, our body to your love, to your ways. We pray that you would come fill us, meet with us, that love of God. Lord, we're hungry this morning to grasp and to take hold of you. Come meet with us, Holy Spirit.